Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Corey Chisel and his band, The Wandering Sons, got to play some pretty impressive venues in big cities following the release of their recent album, Old Believers. And soon they will be off for Europe and Australia. But in among the many tour dates have been a couple of important Midwestern concerts in northern Minnesota and in Appleton, the places Chisel grew up, the son of a preacher. It was old-school blues musicians and Johnny Cash that formed the framework for many of the songs he writes today. Chisel and Adriel Dene stopped by the Lake Effect studio in December ahead of a Turner Hall show and played a few tunes for us, including this one. Well, you know, darling, I've been accused. Well, you know I've been accused. Corey Chisel and Adriel Dene of The Wandering Sons playing in Studio C1. That was fantastic, and welcome.
Thanks. First song of the day. Felt good to get one out.
And since we didn't pre-announce it, let's have you back announce it. Tell us a little bit about what you just played.
That song is the second song on our new record called I've Been Accused, which is kind of a takeoff of an old R&B song, I Stand Accused. And it's, I mean, we wrote the song. I just played with that line, I guess.
I wanted to start kind of geographically. You grew up in eventually Appleton, which I suspect a lot of listeners will know something about. But before that, you were from Babbitt, Minnesota.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about life in Babbitt, Minnesota?
Well, there's no stoplights, that's for sure. And
this is up on the Iron Range.
Yeah,
right?
Iron Range of Minnesota, right near Canada. Like if as the crow flies, it's like 15 minutes to Canada. And it's a beautiful, savage wilderness kind of place, and it's a place I spent a lot of my life. Even when we haven't lived there, we spent a lot of summers there, and winter's the same deal. My family moved around a lot, and it's kind of been the central place in our family's life, and a place that's we just actually got back from playing, and there's about 400 people in the town, and about 500 people came, so it's that kind of town where they show up.
Oh, what an amazing experience that must have been. I read that you weren't necessarily really exposed much to pop music when you were growing up, first in Minnesota, then in Appleton. What was it that you did get to hear?
Well, I spent a lot of time listening to Johnny Cash primarily. I mean, I think Johnny Cash was the first large looming figure in my life. And Nat King Cole and groups like the Mills Brothers, and then early blues music came into my life, like Howlin' Wolf and John Lee Hooker and those things. And I've always been kind of grateful for the fact that my intake of music was somewhat limited. And if I ever had children, I'd definitely be on the team of outlawing certain records in my house, not really for any religious reasons, but just for sanity's sake.
There were religious reasons in your background, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, although those weren't really defined very well, I think it was just at a time when there was this feeling that music had gotten away from what it was supposed to be about, and that it was kind of more of sort of escapism and excess and those kind of things. And, you know, now I go back and listen to Howlin' Wolf records, and that's exactly what that was about too. But, you know, it's a way to represent yourself that I think it got away from my parents' generation. They got a little nervous about it, but good rock and roll will always do that.
Where did Johnny Cash fall in that whole paradigm? Because he's certainly not, strictly speaking, religious.
Yeah. Well, I think they offered me a very good way to unlock all the things I needed to get unlocked in my life by having me be into such a complex, you know, character. And I think Johnny Cash is someone that is very honest, and honesty is pretty hard to outlaw in no matter what sort of faith you come from behind, you know.
What has it been like to go back to those places, northern Minnesota and Appleton, and play and maybe tap into that scene? I imagine that there was much of a live music scene in Babbitt, Minnesota, but mm-hmm. What is it like to go back to those places and play today as the musician you've turned into?
Well, there is a scene in Babbitt, Minnesota. It's just all 13 of my family members that play guitar, and you know, it's really about touching that thing, you know, of what the songs and the sounds of the certain players. Like my uncle is a blues musician, and the sound of his harmonica is really formative. The types of songs that he would sing, and they still largely influence the types of songs I write. Those are very moving, powerful shows for that reason. I mean, it just, like, it's amazing to hear how a song makes sense in a place that is such a well of inspiration. And Appleton certainly has a lot of that too. You know, I was fostered in a very supportive community that really allowed me to be exactly who I was and wasn't looking to the outside world for what was cool. It was kind of like really into me being from there. And I still feel that way coming back. And that's not the way it is everywhere.
Adriel Dene, if I could ask you, what is it like going to these places that were such a formative part of Corey's world and sort of being a part of what's become part of that world?
It's a really moving experience. I mean, on every level. For one, the setting is just so beautiful. I mean, but also the community of people up there. You know, it's a generational community. There's people that the first time I visited, I met people who knew Corey's grandfathers, and there's a real sense of history and just a cherishing of their sort of collective past together. And so it makes for real powerful kind of communal experiences, I think. So whether we're playing in a friend's garage or playing in the little event center in Ely, it turns into something kind of transcendent, you know, at the risk of sounding cheesy. But I usually cry a couple times during the concerts, and you have grandmas getting up and playing accordion and kids dancing in the front, and
copious amounts of alcohol.
Lots of alcohol being consumed. And it's a real sort of unholy holiness, I think, that I experience when
Whoa,
I'm up there.
Did you just invent that? That's like, I'm stealing that.
It's really powerful, you know, and then also to be in an environment where obviously Corey and his family have pulled so much from and who they have become as human beings. It's a powerful thing. But, I mean, I'd love to be up in Babbitt and Ely anytime, whether I'm playing or not. It's a really special place.
You're giving me goosebumps as you as you describe this, which means that it's probably as good a time as any to hear some more music, if you'd be willing.
Yeah. Well, let me make sure it's in tune. That's good. We'll do a song called I Never Meant to Love You, But It's Too Late Now. I said I never meant to take you to the party last night. Yeah, and I never meant to kiss you in the pale moonlight. Well, there's nothing I can do about it now. I said I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. Oh, baby, you can love me like a bowling ball. Yeah, you can roll me all night and I won't complain at all. There'll be times when we're striking every pin. Yeah, you can set him up, honey, if you knock him down again. Say you'll never be less than my guiding star, but we'll never be more than the people we are. And I don't know why, and I don't know how. Yeah, I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. I never took myself for a family man. Now I'm running to the bedroom every chance I can. Draw the shades, let your head down, you pull me in. Well, I can feel your blood rushing just below your skin. I said I'd always be a prisoner, I'd always be your slave. Because you gotta love someone near between the grave. And better you, darling, than my own selfish device. Yeah, if you think I don't need you, then baby, think twice. Say you'll never be less than my guiding star, 'cause we'll never be more
than the people we are. And I don't know why. And I don't know how. Yeah, I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. Looks like you're stuck with me, darling, till the ends of time. Well, when we climbed every mountain that there was to climb, you look at me, you finally see me just as I am. I said I never meant to love you, would you love me again? Say you'll never be less than my guiding star, 'cause we'll never be more than the people we are. And I don't know why. And I don't know how. Yeah, I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. I said I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. I said I never meant to take you to the party that night. Yeah, and I never meant to kiss you in the pale moonlight. Well, there's nothing I can do about it now. I said I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. Darling, I never meant to love you, but it's too late now. I said I never meant to love you, but it's too late now.
Corey Chisel and Adrielle Dene of the Wandering Sons in Studio C1. Fantastic. That's
Thank you.
Great stuff. You're living in Nashville now, but I wonder, do you feel like Wisconsin and Minnesota come through in your music somehow?
Yeah, to put it this way, I've said it – this. I hope this makes sense, but occasionally it's that taking yourself away from the environment helps you long and miss it in a way that helps it materialize through art better than maybe sitting on top of it would. And I've seen that in a lot of records, you know, records I've written, you know, in a foot of snow, I wind up writing about sun and better days. And, you know, I can be in the middle of Los Angeles and just be, want the brutal cold on your back, you know. So it's something about just stepping back a little bit to widen the scope. And as the name would imply, I get something out of moving around, and I do it as often as I can. And moving is kind of like a – and living anywhere. These are all sort of really obscure sort of things when you spend 360 days out of the year in a different town. So it's kind of relative, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that it adds a new element, new perspective.
And maybe that distance is, you know, why people write the memoirs after they've lived the experiences.
Yeah, often that's the way, just so we can distance ourselves from the truth just enough to lie and make ourselves look good. That's the way it goes.
Do you get to the point where there's a certain weight of expectations or potential that plays on you at all? If I read the story correctly, for example, the producers at Late Night with David Letterman wanted to book you before you even finished the last album.
Yeah. I've been really good my whole life at not worrying too much about expectations. It's one thing that's allowed me to like maybe have the gall to even suggest that people would listen to my songs, you know, not coming from a major area like LA or New York. I impose enough expectations on myself, really, and if I ever got around to appeasing those, maybe. And that's not to say that I'm – it sounds a little narcissistic, and I guess maybe it is. People are probably pointing that out as they're listening to this. But, you know, it's a tough game meeting other people's expectations. I've never really been able to do it well, so I try not to play it as often as I can.
So in that
meeting
case,
Adriel's expectations is higher on my list.
Well, so in that case, let me ask you this. What was the Letterman experience like? I mean, you know, it's sort of one thing to play in front of 400 people in Ely, Minnesota, mm-hmm. and a few hundred people elsewhere, but one song, one show, and millions of listeners must be a hell of an event.
It is. Yeah. It's an intoxicating feeling to get like – you get one pitch and one swing, you know, kind of thing. And you just crowd the plate and choke up. That's what you do. You just swing at it. And, you know, I think when we got through, we just all looked at each other and we're like, it was good, right? It's good. It was good. It's good. You know, because it's
a very out-of-body experience.
Yeah. You don't even get to, you don't see David Letterman beforehand. You don't, you're just standing in a freezing cold room until someone says, we think that we're going to cut you. We don't think we got time. And then they go put your guitar on and go, you know, it's very, they do this every day. You know, they didn't check in with us. I mean, this is like a big life moment, but for them, they were like wrapping cables as I was hitting the last note, you know, it kind of takes something out of the experience a little bit, but watching it on TV was, that was pretty great. You know, those things, to see it in reverse, it never seems real at the time, I guess, but.
It's hard to remember to stay in the moment with things like that because, you know, as a kid, there's nothing that you kind of visualize more than that experience. And I think this time, once we started the song, we consciously tried to really be present. And for me, at least, I just started grinning from ear to ear. I mean, I was so I saw David Letterman off to the left and saw Corey's family up in the seats, and it was pretty spectacular. But terrifying also.
Do you still grin ear to ear when you see the YouTube video?
I try not to watch it. I watched it once, and then I'm not going to watch it again because I'll just pick apart.
Good way to not like it. Yeah.
I'll pick apart all the little mistakes I made, and there's no sense in doing that. I'd rather just remember it how it was.
Corey Chisel and Adriel Denae of The Wandering Sons, thanks so much to both of you, and tell us what you might play us out with.
Let's do this song called Times Won't Change.
Corey Chisel and Adriel Denae of The Wandering Sons playing in Lake Effect Studio C1 just before a December show at Milwaukee's Turner Hall. Our in-studio performance was engineered by John Strelecki. You can hear all three songs in the supplemental audio section of WUWM.com/Lake Effect, and you can also find a link to their appearance on Late Night with David Letterman. That's the Thursday edition of Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, 5 international stories to watch in 2013 and much more. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock, and Fresh Air is next.
Tell me why the times won't change. Six saddles for horsemen riding. 300,000